Welcome to the Planning Board meeting, November 19th, 2025. The time is 6:30 PM.
I have them from New York.
And ducks, on ground are ducks.
You ready? All right, I would like to call the November 19th meeting of the Canton Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Dave.
Here.
Linda.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
All right, into the world traveler, back in one piece.
Yep.
Looking happy.
Yeah. Though I woke up this morning and I have a back issue.
You left with a back issue, though. Well,
no, it was pretty much on its way, but
okay,
completely fine the entire trip. I want to go back, I think.
Yeah, go back so you're fine. Yeah, makes sense. It's that southern rotation is what it is.
Yeah.
So we're just going to read in the first piece here. New business case number 25008. Major subdivision and site plan. Applicant owner, James Logan, London Bridge South Incorporated, 273 Courier Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, 466 and 476 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire. Maps 405, lots 29 and 30. Intent, construct a 50-unit condominium-style elderly housing development. The applicant informed us yesterday that they were still responding to the engineering review and that they didn't feel it would be in anybody's best interest to come and waste our time and theirs until we address those issues. So, for everybody, we are continuing this hearing. The hearing is open. We are now continuing it till December 17th. Okay? So
we have a date.
We have a date.
Okay.
Mm. Well, I just found out when I walked in the door, so yes, we have a date.
I was going to say, that's new.
Yeah. So that's the case. We will then be having the meeting then. If you choose to stay. We will continue on with our stuff. And please, it's entertaining to stay here.
To some.
I know. My wife's attended a meeting and gone, oh my God, how do you deal with it? Other business. No old business. Other business. Approval of the minutes. I had nothing.
I saw the word Candia misspelled. Line 41.
Really?
Yeah. Canada.
Canada.
But not even Canada spelled correctly.
Canada.
Oh. Yes. Canada. C-A-N-I-D-A.
Yeah.
You know, just a little.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I caught.
Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Motion.
Thank you very much.
Canada.
Yeah. Motion to approve as corrected?
Yep.
I'll second that.
And Judy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Tim? Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
They said Tim, and then I was waiting for myself to respond.
We've all had days.
So, now, moving on to the stuff that I consider fun. So, I had to scramble today because I wasn't planning on doing zoning ordinance and regulation stuff, and because I figured the Logan hearing would take up all our time. So, what I figured I would do is we would start with this. This is just kind of my log of what we've done and what we've kind of talked about.
I thought he was going to separate it from me.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And we can figure out what else we want to add or subtract. So, you know what I should pass around to? Hold on a second, because there's a couple things in here from Judy Zoff. She sent this email to Megan.
Thank you.
I don't want to get yelled at again.
Hey, that's awesome. It's like a deck of cards.
So yeah, we'll kind of divert to this. Judith had some issues from the ZBA that she wanted us to consider, so I've added these to the list. All right. So we'll come back to Judith in a minute. But so, in terms of ordinance changes, the solar is almost complete. The one edit I had from the last meeting was to do a flat roof height change. We were at 10 inches. Mm-hmm. So I made that edit of 10 inches for a sloped roof and 10 feet for a, pulling from the other zoning ordinances, it was 10 or 15 feet, so I pulled 10 feet on a flat roof.
Perfect.
All right, so mm-hmm. that's in there. You know, got to make it look a little more ordinancy, but we've also got to have a public hearing on it before we, you know, all approve it and get ready to go. So I'm figuring that now that Logan's on the 15th, on the 17th, maybe we can do this for the next meeting, and I can make it look a little more like an ordinance. We can have the public hearing. We can all kind of agree to it, and then we can get it to town council to finalize it for the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what I thought. Right? Yep. Judith brings up short-term rentals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that like VRBO kind of thing?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. And I'm lumping that in with something Megan and I have talked about is campgrounds, because we do not allow any campgrounds of any time, of any kind. And these are, especially the small rustic campgrounds, are a very hot, that and Airbnb type stuff are very hot travel topics right now. And we should talk about whether we want to do it, how we want to do it. At least we should go through the process. So we'll discuss this tonight, you know, in some basic terms and see kind of where we want to go. But that's why those are up there. And Judith brought up the fact that we don't define the driveways in the ordinance. They are in the subdivision regs, but not in the ordinance. I just throw it out there because she brought it up. And then in the regulation side, we've got the two things we've talked about as completed, right? So we've got the ADU submittal, where we all agreed that verbiage was fine, and the same thing with the lighting, we all agreed that verbiage was fine. So again, Megan, we should probably put in the December 3rd meeting, specifically mentioning planning, you know, discuss the solar ordinance change and the lighting and ADU regulation change, so we can fulfill that requirement. Sound like a plan?
Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, where would so I had mentioned linear frontage. Would that be in the regulation, change in regulation, ordinance?
Oh, change in the 200?
200 be contiguous.
Contiguous, yes, sorry.
That would probably, I think that would be, that's in the ordinance. So we'll add that one to the ordinance and we'll...
Would we do that as ZBA? Because they control all ordinances now.
No, that's for variances. We control putting stuff to a
ballot
condition.
Yeah, we control the standard.
Now, so we'll... We still got plenty of time for the... For March, we're going
to
schedule. Yeah. But I believe that's in the ordinance without looking at it right now.
Yep.
Would be my guess. Okay. And in terms of, spent some time messing with this today. In terms of where to put solar in the ordinance. There's not an easy place to slot it to slot it in, so you know it goes like the whole front end is all the you know it goes right from the charts of what's permissible and not permissible into the conditional use for elderly housing, workforce housing, right, and then from there you know, it jumps into, you know, setbacks, dimensional requirements, then manufactured housing, off-street requirements, parking requirements, and then from there back is all like wetlands protection, electrical utilities, so on and so forth, right? And I don't think we want to throw solar into the back in there with groundwater protection, land use regulations. So I thought what we could maybe do, and I'll ask you guys to think about it because we don't need to make a decision now, but put it like Article 9 is off-street parking requirements. We could slide it in there, make that number 10, and then change the numbers of everything going back from there.
Or how about Article 12, telecommunications, personal wireless service facilities. So now you're...
I thought about that.
Just before?
I thought about that, right? There is a section here, yeah, Article 12, which is telecommunications, personal wireless services and facilities.
But even just before that, so it's all...
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I thought about trying to rename that, but then this is the solar doesn't really fit in there because accessory use and stuff. We could, that's a good point. We could put it in as number 12 and move
less. numbers too.
And then move, and well, we put it in as 12, and then
you
know, telecommunications goes to 13, and the other two things go to 14. Yeah,
I vote that.
I like that too.
Yep, I think that works. That lumps those two things side by side.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you hit the ground running.
Such organization.
She's back.
You should see my packing.
Okay. So, let's take a look at Judith's thing since I threw that out in everybody's face here. Her concern is that, and I'll look at the, because I just got this today, I'll look at her thing about the driveway definition. I mean, I understand what she's saying, but I'm hard-pressed to do a ballot initiative just to put a driveway definition in the zoning ordinance since we already have it in the regulations. And the two kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Because it's part of the process. I mean,
right.
I mean, the road agent weighs in on it before it happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting there going, I understand it's not in the ordinance, but I don't think anybody who doesn't know what a driveway is and doesn't see it in the regulations.
But if you're looking at short-term rentals, many of them have a separate driveway, especially if it's like attached to a house. Mm-hmm. Say it's like an ADU, and that's what the short-term rental is. A lot of times they'll have the short-term rental driveway as a second driveway from the main driveway. So I don't know if that's something we want to look at. Are we going to be allowing a second driveway? But, or maybe parking, you kind of pull in and parking.
Second driveways are allowed already.
Yeah, they're allowed already.
Okay, that's true.
So
it doesn't really...
And on the length of them, we already weigh in with the fire department.
It's not really an issue, right?
So, I mean, I guess the only thing is we currently don't really regulate short-term rentals. You just have to get the special
states.
Exception. But we don't have any, you know, like so many units or so many days a year or any of that type of thing. I'm not sure this is a problem that needs to be solved, but I'm also not sure that it can't become a problem. Right? So that's why I wanted us all to put our thinking caps on and
well, what does the state say? Because they have to get a permit to be able to do it from the state. So what is the state's regulations as to a homeowner,
I don't
applying
know
the permit?
To that.
Yeah.
You know,
approve it from the state?
Yeah.
To even, so if you want to post something on VRBO or Airbnb, do you have to show them your state permit to be allowed to be put up on their website?
Probably not, but you can get fined if you get caught. I just know people that do...
Have gotten fined?
No, they haven't gotten fined, but they tried to do it without a permit, and they were, you know, given a warning, and they went ahead and got the permit. Hmm. People with their...
I was unaware.
Me too. So if the state's already requiring a permit...
I don't know what it looks like. You know, yeah, I don't know what the regulations...
Yeah, but again, I'm thinking, what can we really regulate?
Because the state's going to want their 7.5% or whatever it is for lodging.
Right, that's probably why they're doing it.
Got to be a driver, right?
That's exactly why they're doing it, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Again, I
can find out a little bit more. Like,
yeah,
more
again, I understand where she's coming from, that we don't really discuss it at all. Because we, you know, and should we just try to throw out ideas, right? Should we put something in specifically about short-term rentals that...
But if we don't have any background, how do we write anything like that?
Well, yeah, so yeah, but I'm not even...
Because then you've got to have the fire department, because it has to make sure that there's sprinklers, and there, so there's, when you have... short-term rentals, there are specifics that you have inside, you have to have there. So, I don't know if you want to find out what the state requires already.
I was just saying it'd be easier to find out what they require.
I think what we sort of did with the solar thing is, I'll have her do all the research. And
I'd love to do
all the work. Yeah, I'm good with that.
If it's already covered by the state, then why do we need to reinvent
well,
the wheel?
Well, I'm sure there's not a requirement for sprinklers. So I think we're having
rustic,
a look.
There's VRBO rustic cabins that...
Oh, no, they require sprinklers. As far as I know, any Airbnb I've been in, not sprinklers. There's a smoke detector that's a lot... It's a there and... Carbon monoxide.
Okay.
Different
than sprinklers.
Yeah, that's sprinklers, right. But there is a, it's hardwired, so.
Okay.
Right, they don't want the battery.
Judith references Article 15, Section 15.02. Do you happen to have that?
I think that's what this is here. This is the criteria for that.
All right.
Yeah, it's a 5 criteria for special exception.
I want to hear what Dave has to say.
I was just going to say that I think that looking at what the state regs, state application is, and then maybe seeing what other towns have, and going from there. My guess is that a lot of this is covered, but maybe there is some tightening up. I don't know.
At least we'd know what we're looking at evaluate it.
See, I don't know where she's going with 2, 3, and 4.
Well, maybe she just posted rentals. the whole article.
I think she did just post the whole article.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you're doing a short-term rental, that's 180 days.
Yep, that's the same.
That's it in its entirety. Okay.
Yeah. No. But again, I'm sitting here. Not sure we have a problem, but I think it's good for us to all really think about it, because if we can come up with something that makes sense, it's good to figure that out before we have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got nothing. I don't know.
Well, don't forget, I mean, we have people in town that rent out rooms or something like that for people who do construction. They come from another area, they'll rent a room here for the duration of a job, and then they're gone. You know, I don't know how they would make excessive demand on municipal services, including but not limited to water, sewer, waste disposal, and police.
Yeah. They're already a homeowner.
Yeah.
They're entitled to
those. Yeah, the homeowner, the way it's written, I thought the homeowner has to be in the home. So...
Well,
it'd be better if she came in and clarified her intentions.
Yeah. I'll throw this out. There's people that I've watched on YouTube and stuff. They have houses that they rent out with racetracks and off-road tracks. So if Judy was to set up an off-road track and she was to, rent out her house, I could throw rent your house out and have a big the TV party or something like that, right? That's probably reach, and that's the best I got so far. Tootie's a troublemaker.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
I guess if we lived in L.A. or something like that, but I mean, it's candy, you don't really have that much.
Well, like a friend of mine lives in Bow, and the house next to him has like three teenage boys, and they run dirt bikes around their house.
All day long.
Have built jumps in their front yard, and like their house is like right there. And they're just bad neighbors, right? So you can't pick a neighbor sometimes, right?
And I'm not going to look at anybody particular when I say this. There are people who shoot in their backyard.
I know, exactly. So I'm not thinking regulations are a good thing.
House. Yeah, mine either, or Kevin's. yeah, but that we don't have a noise ordinance,
right?
Obviously, if it's really annoying, the police will come over and say, "Hey, can you keep it down and make everybody happy?" But
well, maybe again, Judith will come in and explain, you know, what she's looking for out of this.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
it's confusing.
From a zoning perspective, I mean, I understand what she's saying. We don't define it. We don't put anything else around it.
We don't want it to be like an HOA where everything is defined. We don't want that.
You
might want to ask for clarification on her request.
Yeah, see what she's thinking it should be, right?
Yeah, because some suggestions would be wonderful.
Why don't you check out what the state requirements are?
Yeah, do that.
And then we'll ask Judith, like, we got nothing. You got some suggestions that you would like to see? Because, you know, we'll certainly entertain them. I'm coming up empty. All right, could we get that one done? Now, and again, the same thing with the driveway correction. I don't see it as an issue personally. I don't want to do a ballot. If it was in the regulations and we could change it in a heartbeat, but I don't want to do a ballot initiative for a driveway definition in the ordinance. Personally.
Driveway definition. Pathway to my mailbox.
There you go. Someplace you can use to turn around.
Yeah.
So
that people going the wrong way can turn around.
Yeah.
There you go.
So the last thing on the ordinance side is campgrounds. We've talked about it, and Megan printed off some campground ordinances before, and I haven't looked at them for a month or so, but as I recall, there wasn't a lot in here that was applicable. But I thought what we could start out with and just, you know, make some notes and stuff. Do we think we should allow for campgrounds? And if we do, what kind of campgrounds? So let's not look at it from an ordinance perspective yet. Let's just look at it from a perspective of, do we want to allow them? What kinds do we want? Where do we want them? And do we want to bother putting it in?
So we've talked about I can't remember the name of it, but you basically rent a camper spot for the night type of thing.
Yeah, the rusted campground.
Rusted camping grounds. Would that fall underneath this? So that kind of opens up just about any property in town. Lots of them, I should say. Right?
Correct.
So is it that, or are we talking like a campground, like, you know, 25, 30, 40 spots that, you know?
It's see, commercial.
That's
commercial.
That's
well, that's true. Okay, they have.
There you go, the zoning. That's commercial.
Right. Yes. Right. So that would be commercial, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, if someone bought Candia Springs.
Be a perfect spot.
And that'd be a perfect spot, and it's commercial. And then as long as it's commercial enterprise. Right, that's
on Ontario Street,
and with a new rotary, they could handle the traffic.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they could handle a big A class pulling a pickup truck behind it.
You've driven RV around the country, right? There's some kind of like organic homegrown service where you can stay at a person's house if you buy a bottle of honey from them or something.
Harvest.
Agriculture.
What do they call it? Harvest something.
You harvest.
Harvest Host.
Harvest Host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on it, aren't you?
In Kenya?
In Vermont, when we cross over.
Okay. That's a thing. That's a that's like a VRBO kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is kind of, I'm not saying we shouldn't allow it, but are we going to start making ordinance for that kind of stuff?
Except that we can't stop. That is not technically illegal in Kenya.
Okay.
There's no hookup. You don't need it. You're all self-contained.
They also, the Harvest Hosts, do not get paid for you to camp on their property.
Right.
Okay. Same.
You're boondocking on their property.
Yeah.
You can park there.
Yeah. Well, Walmarts and stuff like that. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But so it, what the way it works is that they do it for free, but usually it's, you know, farms, and you buy stuff from the farm stand, or like the only one I've ever, you know, been to, I didn't stay there, but have you ever seen Over the Moon up there in Pittsfield, up on top of the hill? It's where Moonlight Meadery now is, right?
Okay.
They've got this amazing view, and they have like two or three Harvest Host sites there, and the only way they make money is the people come in, and they come in and they buy some beer, they get a pizza, they buy some mead, bada bing, bada boom, but they get nothing from Harvest Host. So technically, it's not really a campground.
Right.
It's
okay.
Somebody's parking on their lawn overnight.
Yeah.
Right? So there are some ways around this, right? Like Dean Young said, he said, well, you know, if they had a farm and they let people camp on their farm and they charged them $50 to pick a pumpkin, then that's not a campground.
Right.
You know, there are ways around that.
Until somebody gets hurt.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they, yes, exactly. Insurance is an important issue. But so, yeah, so a commercial, you know, big KOA RV park in the commercial zone, that we don't have to even really kind of consider, right?
Because they could go to the ZBA and get a special exception, right?
Yeah, I mean, but that's it's a commercial enterprise, so they could probably just come here and not even need a special exception, right? Because it's a commercial business.
I think because we don't have anything about camping in our ordinances, it's not permitted. That's the special exception they'd have to go get from the ZBA.
Right, the way it's written is everything is forbidden unless it's allowed.
Yeah, except commercial.
Specifically allowed.
Right.
No, we don't specifically allow solar either, but because
right.
It's in the...
We have it. Right.
So, let's see what commercial district establishments...
So first off, wanted to sell that piece of property for a campground. That would be a use for that property.
Mm-hmm.
They could even supply power to it with a solar field.
It'd be green camping.
Green camping.
The purpose of the commercial district is to provide centralized area for provision of shopping facilities, offices, banking, other commercial and retail establishments, where road systems can accommodate the high traffic volume. I mean, so, you know, campground's a retail establishment. I mean, I could certainly make the case that a campground is allowed in a commercial zone without any special exception or anything, right? Now, industrial, no. You know, light manufacturing and small scale light service industries. So that would be a NOBA commercial. You could make the case that that's a retail establishment and service
business. Oh, yeah, because they'll have their own store and everything else right there.
Right. So, you know, we could edit that too and say, you know, campgrounds are permitted or something to that effect.
In the commercial.
In the commercial, if we wanted to add that. But so the question is, do we want to
that allow... really wasn't the issue that brought campgrounds up.
No, I'm well aware of that. Yeah, I don't think we need to address it
right
for somebody coming in and looking at doing that at Candia Spring. I think that we've got enough wiggle room in that wording to get to cover those. But yeah, that's my thing. Do we want to allow some small rustic campground in residential areas, right? And you know, it is a hot market segment in the RVing world right now. Those, you know, little off-road camper, you know, you see the little pop-up trailers that have big mud tires on them, and the little sprinter vans that have satellite dish and all kinds of stuff on top. It's a very hot topic in the RVing world.
The perfect spot in Candia is Shriver's Boyd's place.
Yep.
I mean,
so that's and not thinking specific places, but there's a lot of possibilities here in town. And so that's kind of the, you know, do we want to say, and I'm just going to throw some stuff out here just so a basis to talk from, you know, five campsite rustic spot, you know, rustic campground with no services except sanitary and water, you know, and meet state regulations for a campground, right? That's kind of one possibility in the residential zone.
I just wonder if there's anything out there already.
Well, there are some undocumented campgrounds.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking about in the regs, like from the state or anything about this.
Campgrounds have to supply water
and sanitation. And
right, but do they usually specify in a commercial?
And it can't be just a spigot on the side.
Right, so yeah. I'm just wondering, in the whole state of New Hampshire, has anything like this happened where you have a lot of land, you figure you can open up some spots?
Well, there are towns that have camping ordinances, yes. And there are some towns that have inclusive zoning, meaning you can do whatever you want, except what we say you can't, right? But
I'm just wondering if there's already anything that already allows in residential, and what guidelines do they have as far as acreage, number of campsites, and like you say,
if you let it into residential, I think you got to be very specific. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to end up campgrounds.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the residential.
Right.
So, you know, like the two that I found in a previous iteration of looking at this was Darien someplace else, you know, like Darien Hooksett or something, and totally not relevant to us because they were talking RV parks, right? And we're not.
Yeah, right.
So one thing that I think is being alluded to, if you go to California, you see all the people living in campers, and it's happening all over New Hampshire now, right? Someone just died today on 93 in a camper. People can't afford housing. People are staying in campers. In Candia, a lot of people have built places for their own campers and RV to dump. Maybe they're going to need extra income because our taxes keep going up, and they're going to start renting them, short-term rentals that you just talked about. And I think those two things tie together. And I think the big thing is, at what point do you call it a campground? And at what point is it a short-term rental?
It can't be a short-term rental by definition. So that's out of the question.
Putting a camper in it can't?
Yeah, it cannot be a short-term rental by definition.
Okay.
State law says a short-term rental is a structure.
Okay, yeah, so that's...
it's got to be a campground.
In Candia, we're going to see that start to happen. People are going to start renting out their dump station that they already have tied into their leach field and the spigot. It's not a campground, but it is a space that someone
I've seen a fifth wheel with the slides out with somebody living in it. Mm-hmm. And that's...
I have an RV. Yep. I have 800 acres of land in Maine. I'm putting an RV up there all next year just to stay on my own property in my RV. So, I mean, it's a trend that's happening, and it's really growing in the country.
But you can't do that here, okay? Because you can live in an RV on your property while you're building a house, with a special exception, that can only last a year or whatever. So it's only if you're building a house in Candia. So, I mean, and I'm not saying that we should be sending the PD out there to rouse them out. I'm right. just saying, looking exactly. at the legalities of things, right? And I'm not saying anybody's going to, if someone is having somebody stay in their backyard in a camper, I don't imagine that they're going to get in trouble. But from the legalities of things and trying to set a level playing field, you know, that's kind of, you know, we're not looking to roust people out of what they're currently doing, but just put some legal yeah. guidelines in place. So if someone wants to do yeah. a campsite or two or five,
I can understand a rustic, you know, if you want to do five spots and under, but it has to be some type of sanitation provided, mm-hmm. plus
mm-hmm. good water,
potable yeah. water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, a spigot.
So,
yes, we all drank out of the hose, right?
Yeah.
But
I did. Look what happened to me. So New Boston does have a fairly detailed one. And one of the things they do have, I don't see anything about maximum size of the campground. They do require the size of the campsites, but the one of the things they did put in was, you know, must be 25 acres or more to put a campground in. So I certainly think that's probably a smart limitation too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I think our buffers...
Yeah, you don't want to do it on a 3-acre piece.
Right. Again, if someone's nephew is living in the camper out behind their house.
No whistles blown here.
I happen to know a guy you used to work with who's got his entire family living in his property in RVs. Okay. For years now. So the thing is not to try and roust people, but to like, look at, do we want to do this? Is this something we want to sponsor? We want to, you know, say this is good, the town wants this, or not.
Knowing this town, I doubt the town wants it. But I'm not going to go chasing after it either. If you think we need to have a regulation about it, then we can. Or we can kick the can, I think.
Yeah. No, and that's why I haven't been hot on this one, because I understand it's a real trend in the RV space, as you know, you said, and I know it's a big trend in the RV space.
It's more destination driven, though, I think.
I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Really? I think I'm going to go to Candia.
Well, I mean,
no, but
I
don't want to live in my car, but I can live in this.
What are you going to do? View the dump?
$30,000 okay trailer.
Yeah.
In my uncle's yard, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And mm-hmm. quite honestly, it's illegal, but I don't think anybody in this board wants to see that
homeless
nephew
people.
Get turned
yeah.
out, right?
But we don't want to attract it either.
I don't know. Right. I've got a couple of nephews that I really wouldn't mind getting turned out, but that's still a different story. You know? But yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, I see it as a trend. I also agree with you. I mean, you see the traffic going into the B&B here in town. You know?
Oh, yeah. They don't have a top up there, right?
So, you know.
Actually, there's a few ladies that used it this past weekend.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because they had the quilting up at the Masonic Hall.
Cool.
So I've seen a car there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've seen some motorcycles in the summertime there and stuff, yeah. you know. But I do think from a campground perspective, I think with the splash pad and the infrastructure at Candia Springs, that would be a fantastic campground. You know, but
yeah,
I mean, we used to see it back in the 60s and 70s when we went up to Laconia, a lot of camping on the side of the road.
Yeah. So.
We mean 60s, 70s, they still do that.
Yeah.
Where were you?
So I think one thing that in consideration of this is that let's say someone wants to do this and they live in a more populous part of town, right? That, you know, you're having a definite effect on all your neighbors and such. So it would be good to have some protection, but again, like, you guys have made some good points that not a destination so much, we're really just a stop on the way, if anything, at best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we just wait until something happens, you know, until it becomes an issue, or...
But by definition, it's not allowed, right?
Correct.
Right.
Correct, it's not allowed.
So... If somebody comes in and says, I talked to Ron, I want to buy
the
springs and put a campsite in, a campground in, then we discuss it, right?
Well, no, but see, Candia Springs, you could consider that's a commercial.
That's a commercial. So that can happen.
That's a business that they're going to create.
Yeah.
So campground or otherwise.
And where the solar farm had to have some other things going on is because it doesn't necessarily fit that solar definition. It's not that commercial definition. It's not a service or a... A retail, so there's, you know, that had some different things.
So basically what Judith was talking about for campgrounds, you can't charge money for people to come out and camp. And that's what was happening, and that was part of the issue. They're charging money in a residential.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, if they...
So put in a pumpkin patch, and then you can sell them.
Then you can sell them for $75 a night.
We're going to call that the young rule.
The young rule, there you go. Yeah.
So the other thing, you know, like, so here's a different scenario. So Judy lives on a non-maintained road. They have to maintain it. What if her next-door neighbor decides to do this? You know, it starts getting more traffic, and that... Yeah, so, but... Again, it's... Is it an issue? Is it? And so I
don't think so.
But
I don't like to regulate again, just for the sense of regulating.
This is good. You know, we're all coming to an agreement and understanding on it, which is if all seven of us are like yeah, then that's not a bad thing. So in terms of regulations, I didn't see anything else yet that I wanted to add to those two, the ADU in the site plan and lighting. Again, I'll just throw it out. If anybody else sees anything or has anything, bring them up and we'll talk about them. Because the good news about this is this is stuff we can add to anytime. We'll add these two in our next meeting. And we can add them anytime. We just have to have a public hearing on it and take public input.
So in our zoning already, we have on page 17, it does say boarding, rooming, and short-term rental accommodations, residential special permit, permitted. I think that's what permitted by right, and then mixed. So it's already zoned in our ordinances.
Yeah, but
so to remember, but it doesn't have a lot of...
But see, the definition by the state of New Hampshire for short-term rental is a structure.
Right. Oh, this is when I'm going back to where the short-term rental, not camping.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
But it's already established as a zone.
Correct. But, you know, what Judith was just saying is we don't have any regulations around what's permitted and what's not permitted and so on and so forth.
All right. I just wanted to clarify
that. I get that, but it's kind of like the campground thing. I think we're chasing shadows. I don't know what we can put in place from a planning board that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe there is, but I don't necessarily know. I do have one thing we need to vote on, but the last thing I wanted to talk about was we actually got a little something out of the HOP grant. So Southern Hampshire Planning CAM created this report and looking at our zoning ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
I got it a few days ago. I read through it and I made some notes. So in the number one general provisions, he basically says that we weren't quite allows us to be not, you know, continue to nonconformist to continue. He just felt we needed more definition there about
grandfathered parcels, and the section's language could benefit from clarification, particularly regarding how adequate setbacks and safe sanitary waste disposals are defined and evaluated by the zoning board and the planning board. I kind of went, you know, I don't know. We'll see if he gives us some verbiage that he thinks should be put in there, but I've read the stuff, and I think it says what we want it to say. So on section 2.4, he says, in the opinion of the planning board, the conditions warrant an alternative access point in terms of having a second driveway or a driveway across another property. This discretionary element may offer flexibility in some circumstances, but the absence of objective criteria may also raise concerns about predictability and administrative consistency. I'll be honest. I think that putting down all the specifics that are the only things that we could make that decision based on ties our hands, because if we missed something in that list, then someone could say, you can't turn me down because there's a pond there because you didn't mention ponds.
Right.
You know? Certainly we could put in, including, topographic challenges, wetlands, access to roads, and any others as the board sees fit, right? So again, I'm reading through these things, kind of going, and here's where I heard about that 12 months, where you could be in a trailer for 12 months, it was in this document. These provisions provide reasonable short-term flexibility, but are tightly framed to prevent long-term housing. There is no indication that such flexibility extends to seasonal workers, caretakers, and aging in place. Yeah, because it's just talking about having the trailer there, the RV there for when you're building the house. That is the intent of that section. So I call BS. I throw the BS flag on that comment. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, bureaucrats do bureaucratic things. They mm-hmm. they like to have every T crossed and possibility, but that removes flexibility from us to make judgment calls, which is the root of small towns, right?
Correct.
They've elected us to do what's in the best interest of the town and use good judgment for our citizens and for the town. And I think the more tightly you restrict that and define that, the less effective we'll be.
And the other thing that none of us want, which has happened to us, is us to put wording in here that is too specific. And 6, 7, 8, 10 years from now, there's an aha moment where we get caught with our knickers down because we didn't think of everything. And 20 years from now, somebody's sitting there going, I can't believe they didn't think of that.
Right.
Well, it hadn't been invented yet. But
that's okay.
It's going to happen.
Right. So that's, I don't want to address that.
So they provide us a document that we can read through and decide whether or not we want to implement.
Oh, yeah. This
so at least we got our money's worth out of it.
Well, this is just the beginning, hopefully. I mean, this is $50,000, and that's all we've got so far.
But it's not really our money. But it kind of is our money, but it's not really our money. Yeah. It's not town taxpayers' money.
Correct. Right. It's
right. Oh, the long roll.
It's which is still us. Right.
Yeah. Nothing's free.
Can we have time to digest this and then make notes and come back?
Yeah, so there was another one I called BS on here where he said that in the accessory dwelling, there is no clear guidance as to the maximum unit size, owner occupancy requirements, number of bedrooms.
Thought there is.
That's all in there.
Right.
Yeah. Except for I don't think we care about how many, you could have one room, but it's square footage, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And maximum two bedrooms.
In the home must be owner occupied.
Yeah, you don't have to live with walls.
Yeah, so I throw the BS flag on that one because that's all in there.
Yeah.
And like the next section, and then we'll stop on this, but the next section he's talking about, we don't have definition about two-family housing and, you know, and the like, and it's like, yeah, cluster. Well, we don't have anything about townhouses, cottages, courtyard clusters, and multi-unit attached dwellings are not defined. Yeah, it's not permitted, so we don't need to define
pretty well
them.
Defined.
They're defined as no.
No.
So, you know, there was only a couple things in here that I thought were interesting, but for the most part, he also said, this will come as a surprise to you that in none of our districts do we allow for cluster housing.
Right.
It's like, yeah, no kidding, because it's been voted down. So most of this was like, I could care less. There were a couple things to look at, but it was pretty... But at least we got something out of it. I think I'm hoping that now Stantec was contracted to do some work on the regs and the zoning, and they have done nothing yet. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But hopefully we can get a review under this of the zoning documents and regs and ordinances. Because I guarantee you, in the regs, there's a lot of crap. There's a lot of stuff that's just been done over the years, and it's a hodgepodge, mishmash. And if we could get that, if the $50,000 does nothing but get that neatened up and make that easier for us and for applicants to deal with, I think that would be a worthwhile investment. So if we don't get that out of it, I'm not going to be happy. All right. So, good. We cleared through a lot of stuff. Last thing I've got. We talked about this last time, and we all agreed, but I forgot to call a vote on it, so I can sign this.
Yeah.
The $2,500 to teach Nordstrom to do the water and soils analysis across town to look for carrying capacity for wells and
so on.
All right. So,
second.
So we have Mark and Judy. All right. Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim. Yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin,
yes,
we're legal.
Okay.
Anybody got anything else? Public comment? Anybody got anything?
I make motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?